Thank the Lord for the grace of God. Amen. This morning, were it not for God's grace, I would not be here and you would not be here either. Now, for the last 30 years, I believe every ministry letter that I've signed, whether it's to a friend, to a supporting church, something related to ministry, I always sign it by God's grace or because of God's grace. So what is grace? God's unmerited favor. This morning, if you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, I have good news for you. You don't have to work hard to get there. You don't have to try to quit sinning to get there. You simply need to turn to the Lord and by faith, through grace, be saved. Unmerited favor, that's good news this morning, amen? That'd be a great way to start off 2018. If you're not saved, get saved this morning. And Christian, fellow friend, fellow member here, if you are saved, don't forget, we're not just saved by grace, but we live a victorious Christian life by grace also. Grace is that desire and the ability to do what God desires for us to do, what God's commanded us to do. And I hope that you're living a victorious life today because of God's grace. Amen? All right, get this thing opened here. I invite you to open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And gentlemen, in a moment, we're going to transition to this, okay? Kind of gotten out of the habit there in Cambodia holding a mic, so it'll be a bit awkward. Now, Raul, if you look cross-eyed at me, I just may throw the mic at you this morning. Brother Myers, Pastor Myers warned me about you sitting up here in the front row, so prepare yourself, okay? Right, test it. You have grace. Okay, well, we'll find out here. Okay. I want to thank you, Pacific Baptist Church, for your faithful example here at home. Looking forward to the report next Sunday, the building update, and just seeing how God is redirecting some of those plans and how, Lord willing, by God's grace, this year, we'll begin meeting in there. Let's see. I have no idea what God has in store, but thank you for your example. As we've traveled around the United States, Pastor Grandy, good to see you, sir, and your family. As we traveled around the United States the last couple months, it's amazing to just hear how many churches are not just praying for Pastor Esposito, but also have heard of the example, have heard of the testimony, the faithfulness of you, Pacific Baptist Church. So thank you for that. Sometimes it would take us off guard. People would ask questions about this or that, and I'm shocked how many churches around America pay attention to what God's doing here, and may it not end, okay? So thank you for your faithfulness and not just serving here at home, but having the heart of God in regard to missions, specifically missions in the 1040 window, and specifically with your team Southeast Asia, in Laos, Thailand, and Cambodia. Were it not for God using you, our brothers and sisters, we could not be doing what God's called us to do. And by the way, we're simply representing what God's doing here, we're representing it there across the seas. You say, what are you guys doing over there? Planting churches by God's grace, winning souls, discipling men and women, teaching children, expanding to Bible colleges next year, and it's simply an extension of what we're doing here at home. So thank you for that. And look forward to seeing what God's going to do there in Cambodia. Well, Lord willing, we'll talk more about that this evening as I share testimonies with you of lives that have been changed by God's grace. But this morning, we want to think, today is, what are we calling it, Fresh Start Sunday? I'm assuming your teachers may have spoke with you about that in your Sunday school classes. I'm not sure. But Fresh Start, what a great opportunity, New Year's, to kick off a brand new start, kind of a reset button. How many of you could say there were some things in your life in 2017 that if you could go back and redo them, do them better, or be more faithful, that you would do that? Anybody? I know I would, okay? All of us would, okay? While we have God's grace operating in our lives, we don't always avail ourselves of that grace, do we? Now, they say, and of course, the world sets New Year's resolutions. Okay, as Christians, we would maybe set godly goals. We would take time to reflect and what does God want us to do in our life and our family and whatnot. And they say in the world, those that set New Year's resolutions, on an average, only 8% of people who set resolutions actually carry through. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm not even part of that 8%. Amen. Think about the goals, the resolutions that the world sets, and generally, there are things like this. They're related to finances. They're related to weight loss. How many of you had a goal last year to lose some weight? nobody. Now, what's that? What did you say? Oh, you're hungry. Don't be thinking about food, because if it looks like you're thinking about food, I'm going to go a little longer this morning, okay? Goals. Now, we had a goal to not gain any weight while we were back here in the States, and I did very, very, very good up until about 3 weeks ago. Brother Bobby, 3 weeks ago, I threw all caution to the wind. I did not pay attention to calorie count. I'm in big trouble now when I have to go back and ride the tuk-tuk and bounce on the roads and climb the steep, trails and all that. So pray for me there. But, you know, the truth of the matter is the world sets goals. And the truth is, a lot of times they don't meet those goals. But most of the time they don't meet those goals, and it's their own fault. But this morning I want to remind us, as we think about Fresh Start Sunday, that God wants us to set goals. He wants us to be like the Apostle Paul, where Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, the difference between spiritual goals and just worldly goals, you know, finances. I want our 401k to grow this year. We want to lose weight, or we want to do whatever. The difference is we have enemies actively opposing us and seeking to keep that goal from coming to fruition. Yeah. This morning, if you're a Christian, if you're a member of Pacific Baptist Church, you ought to have some goals, some things you're pressing forward by God's grace with a vision from God, and you ought to be pressing forward to make this next year, 2018, a better, more fruitful, more productive, more faithful than 2017. But I want to remind you this morning that there is an enemy who is actively opposing you, seeking to think, to shut that thing down. Now, by God's grace, we're going to consider the topic of spiritual warfare this morning. Now, it's not what you think. It's amazing when I come back every couple of years and do an intensive in a college, and they get a chance to ask questions. A lot of times, Pastor Grandy, they'll say, tell us stories about demons. They really do. And the truth of the matter is, I could stand up here this morning, this evening, and tell you stories that would keep you awake tonight. Things that are definitely supernatural, paranormal, that we don't talk about. We have to confront them. And there is that type of spiritual warfare. But let me tell you this morning, church, you are probably not going to face the devil within this next few weeks, next few months, the same way that a lot of our people face the devil over there. As they're being saved out of paganism, out of Islam, out of Buddhism. There is a devil, and he is spooky. Okay, he's not hiding behind every bush, but he is definitely opposing seeing people saved over there. But this morning, the devil is also our enemy, and he's not like Hollywood portrays him or how we think he is. He actually is waging battle with us. And a battle takes place in your mind. It takes place in your mind. And the truth of the matter is, we can shelter ourselves, we can shelter our children from the world. And by the way, as parents, that ought to be one of our goals this year, to make sure that our children are put in a spiritual shelter, in a bit of a cocoon, in a bubble. They're not equipped to be faced to face the things that are out there in the world. It's a wicked, wicked world, and it's a very bad adversary that's trying to oppose us, the world. And the truth of the matter is, unless you're involved in the occult, you're involved in pornography, you're involved in bitterness, these things that we know will attract demonic oppression, the devil probably is not going to be chasing you around. You can kind of shelter yourself from the devil, unless you on purpose get involved in some of those things. And by the way, I'm not naive enough to think that there aren't those this morning here who are struggling with anger, with bitterness, with moral impurity. These things that open the door to demonic oppression. But this morning, we can shelter ourselves from the world. We can shelter ourselves from demonic oppression. But what we can't do, we cannot escape our own flesh. My flesh is with me 24/7. How many of you would say this morning, Brother Board, I understand that I have enemies, I have the world, I have the devil, but my biggest enemy that's going to try to keep me from doing what God wants me to do this next year is not the devil, it's not the world, but it's my own wicked heart. How many of you are honest enough? Okay, we got that. My own worst enemy is a liar. It's wicked. And by the way, when I got saved, that heart is still as wicked as it ever used to be. God didn't change anything about our flesh. This is a battle we have to engage in. We have to deny it, just the whole thing. We don't have enough time to go into all those things, but we understand we have the flesh. And this morning, by God's grace, we're going to talk about some of the lies that the devil will use and in conjunction with the world and in conjunction with our own flesh, some lies that he seeks to tell us that if we're not careful, we might believe. And if we believe these lies, if we don't build our life on a firm foundation like our theme says, we're going to have to push the reset button every day. Some of us, I suspect, were a 1 John 1:9 type Christian every day last year. And we're confessing the exact same failures, the exact same shortcomings. You know what I'm talking about? By God's grace, we want to see this year be different than last year. But we have to identify some of the methods, some of the strategies that the enemy uses as he uses the flesh in the world. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. By the way, when the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I believe he's talking about two things. This is real short here. Forget the victories that you had last year. You can't ride on yesterday's victories. You say, I was faithful last year in leading my family. That's good. This is a new year. Right? I was faithful for 2 months to not eat things that I should not eat so as to not gain weight. And I went and blew it. And by the way, I didn't blow it naively. I blew it on purpose. I'll be honest with you. Okay? Krispy Kreme. Okay? Cracker Barrel. Now, you guys don't have Cracker Barrel over here. How many of you ever been to Cracker Barrel? Okay. Their meatloaf platter, it was calling my name, and I yielded on purpose, okay? Okay. And I gained a little bit of weight. But the truth of the matter is, most of the time when I sin, it's not out of naivety. I don't accidentally stumble into sin. Most of the time when I sin on purpose. How about you? Yeah. Very few times does sin take me by surprise. And Lord willing, we'll consider that this morning. How is it that a Christian wakes up one day in total wreck? Living a life that God does not want him to live. Where does it start? We'll see this morning. It starts in our mind. It always starts in our mind. Okay? So this morning, forget about the victories you had last year. But believer, let me remind you this. Forget about some of the defeats that you had. If they've been confessed, forsaken, they're under the blood, Jesus doesn't remember them, you ought not to remember them. Who is it that wants to remind us of our failures from last year? If they're confessed and forsaken, it's our enemy. It's my flesh, okay? It's unsaved, it's the world who wants to remind us of our failures. And by the way, they see when we fail many times. It's the devil. By the way, there's something called false guilt. Okay, guilt is a good thing if you're guilty. But guilt is ungodly if your sin is confessed and forsaken. It's under the blood. It's in the past. Press forward. Move on. See, the devil wants to remind me. What he does is he'll entice me with sin. He'll compel me to, come on, do it. It's okay. And then when I do it, what does he do? Condemns. You guys ever felt that? He'll condemn you. He'll say, it's okay. Go ahead, do it. But when you actually go for the bait, he will condemn you. This morning, if you're saved, don't forget Romans 8:1 at the beginning of this year. There's therefore now no what? Condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, this morning, if you're not God's child, you're not saved, there is condemnation awaiting you. And you are, in fact, living under condemnation. But you can change that today. By God's grace. 2 Corinthians. Now, a little bit of the backdrop here. Paul was addressing the church at Corinth. And as you know, you read 1 Corinthians. You've studied it. The church at Corinth had a lot of issues, did they not? A lot of sin. It was a very gifted church. It was a church that was living in a very wicked city We won't go into detail all the sins there, but if you research about the history of Corinth, it was a wicked, wicked place. And these people were saved out of a wicked lifestyle. But the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians addressed, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, addressed some of the issues that that church was dealing with. Things like division, jealousy, cliques within the church. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. No, I only follow Jesus Christ. They were divided. God doesn't want division. And Paul addressed that. He confronted strongly their tolerance for immorality in the church. He confronted that. He confronted their abuse of spiritual gifts. But now as we come to 2 Corinthians, there was another issue that he was forced to confront. And it was this. There were backslidden believers, and there were just outright false teachers in the church who were teaching and casting doubt on Apostle Paul's apostleship. They're saying, he's not a real apostle. Whatever he's doing in the flesh. So Paul addresses that. He begins to talk about this battle that we all as believers have to fight. And he reminds us this morning that our battle, our struggle, is not with flesh and blood. It's not with the person sitting next to you. The real issue you're dealing with, my friend, this morning, is not your husband's shortcomings. It's not the failures of your wife. Don't blame your failure this morning on your children. Children, don't blame the fact that you didn't make it spiritually last year on the fact that your mom and dad were less than perfect. No. Our real battle is the battle that takes place inside of our heart. But the good news is this. We know there's a battle. And by the way, if you don't show up for the battle, you lose by default. You lose by default. I didn't sign up for this battle. I was born. How many of you signed up for this spiritual? We didn't. But we're in the battle. So now we have to choose. Are we going to lose by default? Are we going to use the weapons that God's given us? Let's get into this here. Our time is very short. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I believe we're only going to read verses 3 through 5 for now. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, in my Bible, I have the word war underlined. And it's a good reminder to me that the Christian life is a battle. Some people say, well, I'm just tired of the battle. Sometimes this happens when pastors and missionaries get older, Pastor Grande. I visited some churches that 4 years ago were strong. And now you go there and the pastor is weary in the battle. They're tired of fighting. They're tired of fighting to keep standards. They're tired of fighting to help keep families together. And they've almost thrown in the towel and just buying out their time until they retire. But God doesn't want that in your family, by the way. Spiritual life is a spiritual battle. And so we war, but we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, I don't have time to teach about weapons, but let me say this. Thank God that we've been told we're in a battle. We're soldiers. We're going to show up for the battle, but we don't show up empty-handed. We've been given weapons. Can you imagine being a soldier and being a police officer here in Long Beach, being told to help control your part of the city, but not be given any weapons? I'm reminded of a young man in our church I led to Christ about 10 years ago. He's a soldier. He's a lieutenant in the army in Cambodia right now. His name is Chai Ri. He was stationed up on the Thai border about 4 years ago because Thailand was trying to steal some of the land that belonged to Cambodia, and so Cambodia wasn't going to stand for it, and they're shooting grenades back and forth, each missiles and whatnot. But Chai Ri was a soldier, but at that time he was not a foot soldier. He was a soldier in charge of all the logistics inside of the office, and he sat with a laptop computer all day, and that's all he did. I don't understand exactly what he did, but had to do with laptops and controlling where troops went and this and that. And Thailand apparently encroached over the border, invaded Cambodia, and all the troops were activated there on the border to go fight. Well, the problem is Chai Ri's commander came into the office, and he was sitting there at the computer doing his thing. He said, get out there. And here's a superior officer telling this lieutenant, get out there and fight the battle. He said, I'm sorry, sir, I have no weapon. I've not been issued a weapon. I don't care. Get out there and fight the battle. Now, he had a laptop. That's all he had. Okay? What would you do if your commander told you to get out there and fight the battle? They're out there with M16s, AK-47s, 9mm, okay, spears, slingshots. I have no idea what they had, but they had weapons. Chai Ri had a laptop. What would you do? you'd throw the laptop at your commanding officer. I think I would do exactly what Chaudhary did. He said, "Yes, sir." And sir left, and Chaudhary ran into the jungle and hid. Okay? He really did. And he fled. He escaped all the way back to Phnom Penh, and military is looking him down saying, where are you? Now, can you imagine being sent out to the battle, spiritual battle? We have an enemy. We have the world. We have that flesh that we can't get away from. And we have the devil who uses the world and the flesh to entice us, to try to keep us from doing what God wants us to do, to try to convince us that it's a battle we can't win. It's better just to throw in a towel on our marriage. Don't fight for it like we promised we would when we got married. It's better to just let your children go ahead and do their own thing. It's a lie from the devil. And the good news is God has given us tools that we can use to win the battle. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly things. Things like guns, things like knives, spears. The weapons God has given us to win this battle are prayer, God's word, the power of the Holy Spirit, love, accountability. These are weapons that are available to us. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. By the way, strongholds, something inside of our heart that is not something that God wants. Okay? Almost like a fortress. Now, in Corinth, they would have understood this word stronghold. When Paul said that our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, he likely would have been making reference to the fortress that would have been there in Corinth. And it was a place where if Corinth came under attack by the enemy, they would run into that fortress. And it was impenetrable. It was a place of safety. But these strongholds here that are in our heart are something that God wants torn down. These are wrong patterns of thinking, lies that we've believed. And you see this morning, what some of us have done is we put this wall up. And every time we come listen to preaching, every time we read our Bible, every time we sit in Sunday school class, the Holy Spirit is trying to tear those things down. And what we're doing all we can to keep this wall up around our sin. We're in a battle. This battle is to tear down the strongholds. Verse number 5, casting down imaginations. Where do imaginations take place? Take place in my mind, don't they? And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now think back to the Old Testament. Think back to the beginning of time. Was there anybody who wanted to exalt himself to be equal with God and rob God of his glory, rob God of the glory that was due to him, and he sought to convince others to do the same? What's his name? Satan, the devil. That accuser, that tricker, that liar. So where is it that I would get these strongholds and these imaginations that want to exalt against God? Be from the enemy. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This morning, brethren, we are either living in defeat, we're drowning in defeat, and we lived a defeated life last year, or this morning we are living in victory. Now, let's take inventory. Don't raise your hand. Don't think about your wife next to you, but you think about yourself. This is Fresh Start Sunday. Are you, as God's child, living a victorious life this morning? Do you have victory over temptation? Do you live anticipating how God wants to use your life and you fully surrender to that? And every day, not that you don't struggle, but your heart's desire, as best as you know how, is you are living a yielded life. You have not put conditions on God's will. Or are you drowning in defeat? You may be here this morning, but that doesn't mean your mind is thinking right. It's been said that before any great moral tragedy takes place in a person's life, there's been a long process of wrong thinking. I was sharing with one of our leaders a few days ago that several years ago, it was a tricky thing for me. Because in 1 year, I had four of my spiritual heroes fall, knocked out of ministry. Guys that had national ministries, international ministries, and in 1 year, all four of them got knocked out. And immediately, as I heard about the fourth one, God reminded me of this fact. It didn't just happen. Before it happened, there was a long process, perhaps many years, of living in spiritual defeat, wrong thinking. The truth of the matter is, some folks that are here this morning, just like at any church, okay, there are folks at this time next year, when we have Fresh Start Sunday next year, will not even be in church. Your families will be torn apart. You're saved. This morning, you may have a desire to do what's right, but because you fall for some of the lies of the enemy and you're careless and you're naive to think it couldn't happen to you, you might be on the outside looking in next year. By God's grace, we want that to not happen to me or to any of us here. Amen? It's been said that you sow a thought, you reap a desire. Remember this, the concept of the principle of sowing and reaping. We reap what we sow, we reap after we sow, and we reap more than we sow. So before any life is destroyed, there's always a thought, and that thought leads to desire. Desire, you sow. Desire, you reap an act. You sow an act, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap character. You sow a character, you've reaped your destiny. This morning, we're going to talk about three lies, Lord willing, if we have time, that the devil wants us to believe, even as God's child. Lie number one, the lie that I can live a lukewarm Christian life and everything will be okay, because it's always been okay in the past. The lie that I can live a lukewarm Christian life, not hot, not on fire for God, not excited to read His Word, not passionate to win the lost, not trying to put up protection around our family, just kind of coasting through, coming to church when we're supposed to be here, showing up, serving out a duty, but we're lukewarm. And so the lie that the devil wants me to believe this morning, the lie the devil wants every single one of God's children to believe, is it's okay to be lukewarm. We want just enough Christianity, just enough Jesus to keep us out of hell, but not enough to really cramp our style. Let me ask you something, friends. Is that you this morning? I need to ask myself on Fresh Start Sunday, am I content to be lukewarm? By the way, all of us are lukewarm sometimes, aren't we? That's why we do need to confess our sin. That's why we do need preaching. That's why we do need to have our mind renewed. By the way, we don't have time this morning to talk about how we use these weapons, but the main weapon that is used is God's Word, and the Bible talks all over the New Testament several times about renewing our mind. Having our mind renewed. I need my mind renewed to not fall for the lie that it's okay to be a lukewarm Christian. It's like someone who buys an automobile and they get just enough car insurance to be legal, but not enough to replace their car if something really happens. And that's okay with a car, maybe, but that's not okay with your Christian life. So the lie that the enemy wants me to believe and my flesh wants me to believe is it's okay to be lukewarm, everything will be fine. How do we know this morning if we are perhaps a lukewarm Christian? I want to give us three or four thoughts. How do we know that we're a lukewarm Christian? Number one, we are definitely lukewarm if we run away from spiritual accountability. Spiritual accountability. You see, we like to come to church because it's kind of an exciting place. We see our friends, we have activities, it's kind of a safe place for our children. But some of us, and I've been there sometimes too, some of us, we don't really want people to get involved in our life, our personal business. Why? Because we like being lukewarm. We like to come to church and look like, okay, think about this, Ananias and Sapphira, okay? I read it yesterday, so it's fresh on my mind. they lied to the Holy Spirit, but you know what their sin was? Their sin was they wanted to come to church and they wanted to look spiritual when in reality, they were backslidden. Right? They wanted to look like Barnabas. The Holy Spirit led Barnabas to give away some land, donate the money to the apostles. The apostles used it for the needs of the ministry, for the needs of the poor, the persecuted believers. And Ananias and Sapphira were not led by the Holy Spirit. They were led by their own flesh, but they wanted to appear as though they were spiritual. Have you ever come to church like that? Your spiritual life is a wreck. You didn't wake up and spend time with the Lord. You and your wife have been in a fight for 2 or 3 days. You didn't pay attention to what Ephesians said. Don't go to bed mad, because when you do, you get placed to the devil. But you show up at church, and Pastor Myers asks you to do something. Yes, sir. Oh, it's great to be here. Praise the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, you're backslidden. Has that ever happened to you? Are you there right now? See, I can know if I'm backslidden when I reject spiritual accountability. I resist spiritual accountability. The Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, he said, now, at the end of the time, it's going to be perilous times. By the way, we're living in perilous times today. And I'm not talking about things like Iran and North Korea. I'm talking about spiritual perilous times. There is an enemy out there that wants to destroy your family. Now, by the way, the enemy can't steal your soul if you're saved. Amen? Thank God for that. But he can, John 10:10 says, he wants to rob, kill, and destroy. He wants to rob you of your influence for the Lord. He wants to steal away the glory of God that God wants to be given to him as his children live for his honor and glory. And the Apostle Paul told Timothy the end times are going to be perilous times, but he told Timothy to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will come to church and they will want to have preachers and teachers who will tell them what makes them feel good. Have you ever got offended when someone got up and preached? Who in the world told him what's going on in my life? Well, someone did tell him, but it wasn't your wife, sir. It's the Holy Spirit. Okay? Maybe this morning, this message is resonating with somebody. The Holy Spirit is trying to talk to all of us. Okay? And what areas of your life are you failing because you've kept it in darkness? You're not accountable to your husband. You're not accountable to your parents. You're not accountable to a Sunday school teacher. You don't allow pastor to really get involved in your personal life. Why? Because you're lukewarm and you like it that way. You see, the book of Jeremiah said a terrible thing was happening in those days. What was a terrible thing happening? Was it poverty? No. Was it the house prices had dropped really far and the economy bottomed out? No. The terrible thing that Jeremiah wrote about was that the priests and the prophets, they were not hearing from God. They were leading according to their own flesh. And they were lying to the people to make the people feel good. But the amazing thing there in Jeremiah is, the book of Jeremiah says, not only did the priests and the prophets lie, but God's people liked it that way. Wow. I don't know about you, but when I go to the doctor, I want the doctor to tell me the truth. Now, doctors in Cambodia don't tell you the truth. They lie to you. They try to sell you medicine you don't need. Okay? And then when you're put in the emergency room about to die from a heart attack, oh, I got the wrong medicine. Let's sell you some other medicine. They don't really care. When I come to church, when I listen to preaching, when I read God's word, I want God's word to cut past that facade that I've put around my life. Cut right to the middle. You see, this morning, God sees our heart, does he not? You can't see my heart. I can't see your heart. We all look pretty good. We're all in our place. I don't know why you're here, but you're here. But see, the Holy Spirit discerns our heart. He knows. It's been said that the missing link, the thing that causes many Christians to fail spiritually, to destroy their lives, is because they lack one thing. They don't lack a good preaching church. They don't lack going soul winning. They get involved in that. They read their Bible. But the thing that they lack, accountability. Accountability. A very prominent independent Baptist pastor who has done a lot of family counseling, he said this: the key reason many Christians are not able to live in spiritual victory is because they have never established accountability relationships in their lives. Accountability is having a friend. By the way, friend, that's another human being. That's another sinful human being that has a sin nature just like you and I do. But he says we need to have a friend close enough to us who can exhort us, admonish us, warn us, encourage us, even provoke us, because all Christians are going to have to give account for their lives at the judgment seat of Christ. Accountability with others here helps us to be ready for our accountability there. So the lie that the devil wants to tell me this morning, he wants to tell you, is it's okay to be lukewarm. Just do what you're supposed to do. Put in your time. Don't sin too bad, but don't take it too far. You know, don't get too committed for God. Just be normal. Be average, rather. Just be average. By the way, you're not as bad as the person down the street, so you're okay. Truth of the matter is, that's a lie. We need accountability in our lives. We need a brother or a sister who has weaknesses, just like we do, but who can look at us, and we have given them jurisdiction. By the way, we all have jurisdiction in each other's lives to confront each other. How do I know that? Where is that authority given to us? See, some people are here this morning and say, hey, don't get in my business. What's going on in my family life is none of your business. I remember Brother Keogh was teaching on the family in one of our village churches 3 or 4 years ago. And one of the families got really mad. I don't think the family was saved. Definitely weren't saved. And they came up to him afterwards, and after about 4 weeks of this series, he was teaching on a family. He said, you can teach on anything you want. Teach on soul winning. Teach on, evangelism. Teach on whatever you want. But don't teach us anymore about the family. We don't want to hear what you have to say. We have our own culture here. Wow. Now, none of us would come up to me this morning and say, stay out of my business. Get back to Cambodia. I've never one time told Pastor Esposito, when he preached, stay out of my business. But have you ever had a little thought, man, that's none of his business? What I do with my family life at home behind closed doors, that's not his business. How I spend my money, how I use my time, my talents, my treasures, how I use the influence God's given me, that's nobody's business. It's my life. That might be a sign that we're backslidden. And what we need other brothers and sisters who see those weaknesses, who see those failures. And we've approached them and we've said, you know what? I need you. I need you, Brother Raul, to tell me some areas where I'm weak. I remember many years ago when we left for the mission field, I met with Pastor. I said, now, Pastor, tell me, what are weak areas I need to work on? Oh, Brother Board, you're fine. Everything's great. Brother, don't lie to me. I need you to tell me the truth. Oh, no, everything's good. Brother, God's going to use you. I said, will you just tell me the truth? He said, well, okay, there is one. Now, I knew there's many. Okay, he just told me one, though. He said, you could be a little bit more patient with people who are not perfect. I said, oh, wow. And, of course, I later came to understand that my impatience for imperfection is because of pride. Well, I thank God that Pastor cared enough to say, you're proud, man. Knock it off. Now, how would you react this morning, church? By the way, we're not even going to get through point number one. We're going to have to land it right here. In fact, I'm going to turn it off. Okay. I have about 47 other points, and they're all really good. Okay. Lukewarm. Accountability. Now, thank the Lord this morning, if you have a Sunday school teacher, an adult Bible class leader, who doesn't just worry about you filling up a chair in the classroom, but he or she or that couple truly, truly cares about your family. That's a rare thing in churches nowadays. Thank God if you have a Sunday school teacher who cares enough about you on a Saturday evening to drop by your home, just sit down with you and say, Brother, how is your walk with God? And by the way, Sunday school teacher, if you're going to do that, deacon, if you're going to do that, staff member, if you're going to do that, Team Southeast Asia members, if you're going to do that, we need to make sure, to the best of our ability, by God's grace, we're living what we want others to live. Amen? Or they will reject it. But you know, you're very blessed by God if you have one man or two men or a couple of ladies in your life who are willing to confront you and say, you know what? The way you're living is not going to end up in the destiny that God has for you. But see, some of us are going to bomb out this year. Why? We do not want accountability in our life. We want to come and do our time, but we don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to be transparent. We're more than happy for someone to come and teach a seminar on how to get out of debt. We love that. How to make our wife obey us, or how to get our husband to stop being a couch potato. We love that kind of preaching. But for someone who is flesh and blood just like us and has imperfections just like us to point, come and sit next to us and say, brother, how's your thought life? How's your marriage? Or I have a concern, something that you posted on Facebook. I don't know, brother, where'd that come from? Is that honoring to Christ? See, some of us don't want that. But some of us, I think, do. Some of us would be willing to become that accountability partner. Why? Because we welcome that accountability in our own lives. We need to be careful about the battle that's taking place in our mind. Okay? We've been given the right tools, the right weapons. And one of those weapons is godly accountability. Are you willing to receive that this morning? Or are you content on Fresh Start Sunday to continue for the next 51 weeks the same way you've been living this past week with nobody knowing your business? Okay. Man, so much more we could say about that. But let's stand together. This morning we have an opportunity. It's Fresh Start Sunday. Okay, it's a brand new year. Our theme is building on a firm foundation. That firm foundation is not going to happen by accident. One of the things we need to watch out for is this spirit of lukewarmness. How do I know if I'm lukewarm? First way we know, we don't want people involved in our business. Is that you this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed.